A reduction in crime and new state revenues. Those are among the benefits that supporters of legalizing recreational marijuana are predicting for Massachusetts. Legalization begins today, as state law now permits anyone over the age of 21 to possess small amounts of pot. For a look at the changes that can come when a previously banned substance becomes legal, we reached out to Dan Okrent, the author of Last Call: The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. He spoke with WBUR's Bob Oakes.
Dan, bring us back, if you would, to December 5th, 1933, when the 21st Amendment officially repealed the national prohibition against alcohol. What was the mood of the country like at that time, and how was the re-legalization of booze welcomed?
The mood was somewhere between ecstatic and disbelieving, I think. People had been waiting for a long time for this to happen. The resistance to prohibition had come like a tidal wave.
What's the most striking parallel between rum running, the illegal importation of booze during prohibition, the speakeasies, and the illegal drug trade in marijuana of the last several decades?
Well, they're identical, which is to say that one cannot legislate successively against public appetites. It's never happened. And if people really want something badly enough, they will find a way to get it. The great irony, and this is something that I think we need to look at in terms of the legalization of marijuana on this state-by-state basis right now, is it became harder to get liquor after repeal than it had been during prohibition. During prohibition, there were no regulations. It was against the law, but if you had an illegal place, you could be across the street from a church and you could sell to 12-year-olds and you could be open 24 hours a day and on Sunday mornings.
During prohibition, thousands of Americans died as a result of tainted bootleg liquor. Legal marijuana is touted as a way to address concerns that the high THC content and the additives that are in illicit marijuana come with an unknown risk. How much a factor were deaths and illnesses associated with toxic bootleg booze an impetus for ending prohibition?
One doesn't have to be pro-marijuana, and I'm not particularly, to recognize that certain things are inevitable. You will collect tax revenue. The product will be safer and healthier. Criminal activity will go down. Criminal syndicates will be starved of enormous revenue streams. So whatever your moral feeling about the product, I think that there are some obvious changes that it can only be viewed as positive.
So the end of prohibition did have a direct impact on the reduction of crime.
Oh, it had an enormous impact on the reduction of crime. And people who had been making their living bootlegging, rum running, they had to find other businesses to go into. And a lot of them went into illegal businesses. Some of them went into quasi-legal businesses.
Let me ask you about medicinal marijuana in this way. You write that during prohibition, some alcohol sales were allowed as medicinal alcohol was allowed. Do you view the growth of legal medicinal marijuana as having its forerunner in the medical alcohol industry?
Absolutely. You know, the American Medical Association, as prohibition came in, unanimously voted its House of Delegates to say that there was no medical use for alcohol. And then, having seen the possibilities for making some money for it, 3 years later, they reversed course 180 degrees and came up with something like more than 30 different ailments that could be treated with alcohol, ranging from gout and cancer to snake bite. I mean, it was a ridiculous list because it was a money-making scheme, and the physicians worked a very simple racket. You could go to a physician, and in a big city, you could pay $3. You get a prescription. You trot it down to the local drugstore, and you could get a pint every 10 days.
Another motivation behind the legalization of marijuana is reducing the prison population, specifically reducing the number of nonviolent, low-level drug offenders in jail. Were there similar issues surrounding alcohol arrest during prohibition?
There were, and again, it varied radically state by state. There were some states like Michigan, for instance, had a three strikes and you're outlaw, where if you got arrested for the third time, you had a life sentence. And there are other states that really didn't bother to enforce at all. So the effect on prison populations changed radically, was different radically from state to state.
Big picture, your view, is it a matter of time then before marijuana is legal nationally, or are we not anywhere near that yet?
I don't think we're anywhere near absolute national legalization. Things that can happen in Massachusetts and Colorado and Washington and California aren't going to happen nearly as quickly in Mississippi and Alabama. But will it be spread across the country in various ways? Yeah, I think it's inevitable.
Dan Okrent is author of the book Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. He spoke with WBUR's Bob Oakes.